It's Monday, January 17th, 2011. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library. Today we're taking the oral history of Dennis Burgess. Mr. Burgess, what is your full name?
Dennis S. Burgess, S. referring to Sydney.
And when and where were you born?
Born November 17th, 1928 in Flint, Michigan.
And where do you live today?
I live in Parchment, on Parch Mount.
All right. And what is your personal connection to the Parchment area?
My personal connection to the area is the fact that my wife and I lived here starting in 1958, and I was a teacher.
Did you move here specifically to take a teaching job?
Yes, I think so. I attended Western Michigan College, WMC, in those years, and then got my degree, met my wife, and stayed here.
Okay. So you moved to Parchment in 58, and did you always live in the same house?
In Parchment, no. We lived at, in an apartment building on Riverview Drive for a short time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you bought your house on Parchment?
And we bought the house on Parchment, and I think it was 1958, yes.
Okay. All right. And you moved here to take a teaching job where?
At Parchment High School. That was in, 59 and 60. My wife had originally signed a contract for a teaching position in Parchment in 55, mm-hmm. in English at the middle school.
Okay.
George McDonald was the superintendent who hired her.
Sure.
And she taught at the middle school in English. She was an honor graduate from Western, a very good teacher.
What was your wife's name?
Barbara.
What was her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Stewart, Barbara Stewart.
Was she from here originally?
She was originally from Monroe. Her folks lived in Monroe for a good long time, although they... But it's an interesting question, because she... her folks immigrated from Ireland in 1930, and Barb was born in 1934 here, mm-hmm. and attended school there, then went to Kalamazoo for her training at Western. And I met her at Western.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And you started teaching at Parchment High School in 59, you said?
The 59-60 school year, that was the year that the high school opened. I taught for 2 years elsewhere in Allegan, and then
I see.
Came here.
And what did you teach at the Parchment High School?
I had credentials in speech education. I had secondary credentials in history, government, political science, and therefore I was credentialed to teach all kinds of things, mm-hmm. What schools call social studies also, in addition to my major training in speech and debate and drama.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And how was teaching at that school? I mean, did you enjoy?
Yes, very much, very much. I taught... speech, but I also directed plays.
You
and
did.
I directed plays.
You were the drama director?
That's correct. That's
okay. Correct. Like mm-hmm. like what?
Oh, my. I had directed three-act plays, some good, solid productions. Fred Hall, the superintendent, wanted somebody to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
That he had was instrumental in building a high school in 59 and 60 when it opened.
Sure.
And he had an auditorium, which to a certain extent was controversial because he received some criticism because it was too small.
Oh.
But he was concerned about having a drama program for the benefit of the kids.
Yeah.
Not necessarily having a large auditorium mm-hmm. to satisfy the community.
I see.
And so I took the job and directed some plays and had a good time doing it. The stage is in pretty good shape.
Okay.
The auditorium had a capacity of maybe 265, something like that.
All right.
But it was satisfactory for the student body.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the source of the controversy. At least he got some of it because he it should have been larger, which was not the case at all.
Some people in Parchment wanted that to be bigger so that other things could be held in that auditorium.
That's true.
Be made more of a community space than just a high school auditorium.
Yes, that's true.
I see.
That's true. And Fred wanted a place where dramatic productions were of the benefit of the kids.
Yeah.
And you could have maybe a class meeting in that auditorium.
Yeah.
And that was all that was necessary. You didn't need something for 500 people.
I see.
And
well, how did he prevail? Did he just stick to his guns, or
he stuck to his guns. I was not in on the plan to build a school.
Uh huh.
He hired me when the school was about ready to open.
I see. Sure.
And I was not involved in the controversy, although I sensed that there was some sort of a controversy.
I see.
But it dissipated. It was it was not a serious thing, and we proved it because we had some very good shows.
Yeah.
Good audiences, and the trick is to work on a show and present it for 3 or 4 nights.
All right.
Rather than once or twice, and the small house allowed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the acoustics were pretty good too.
I see.
For high school kids.
Yeah.
But we did some good shows. Inherit the Wind.
Oh.
We did a couple of musicals, Finian's Rainbow, Annie Get Your Gun, also Harvey the Old Saul, and Harvey and Mousetrap. And,
sure.
In fact, a show that opened in London in 1952, and then it's still going on, and we did that one, and the mousetrap, and Inherit the Wind, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? The two sisters burying the corpses in the basement. Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yep.
And it was some good shows.
Sure.
But that I did that in addition to teaching.
And the drama kids were what? Juniors and seniors, or any?
As long as they went to the high school.
Okay.
Sophomores, juniors, right. And seniors.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How long were you the drama director?
Well, let's see. In Parchment here for 10, 11 years, something like that. I did the same thing in Allegan at the high school for 2 years before that, beginning in 57.
Yeah.
But I directed the shows here for another 10 or 11 years.
And how long did you teach at the high school?
27 years here in Parchment.
Okay.
My entire career, 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been quite a while since I retired. It's since you're asking me, it's hard to believe I've been out for so long.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you retired after your 29 years in teaching?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you work part-time in your... Are you working part-time in your retirement, or...?
I worked part-time while I was teaching in radio. I did some work in a little bit in Flint many years ago.
Ah.
I did radio work in Kalamazoo, WKMI, WKLZ, and that was... I was in radio up until about 1968, something like that.
Okay, and when you say radio work, what were you doing?
Announcing.
Announcing.
Announcing and news and music. I was a disc jockey to a certain extent, and the key there is it helped me in my teaching. It's part of speech,
mm-hmm.
and you would be amazed at how I could draw from my experience in radio as a radio announcer. In my teaching.
Oh, yes?
And I would bring in some teletype, some papers, the old-fashioned yellow teletype.
Yes?
And tear it up, and the kids were just crazy to pretend that they were radio announcers. And you see, this is part of teaching speech,
mm-hmm.
radio, and,
mm-hmm.
and they loved it, and it helped me in my work in teaching.
Great.
So,
how long did you do radio work here in Kalamazoo?
Well, I started in...
You said till 68. When did you start?
No, I started radio work in Kalamazoo in about 56. I was the first hired announcer for WKLZ. This is after I left the Army and got into college. And I was also doing part-time work when I was in college after mm-hmm. my degree in speech.
It all meshed.
Yeah, it was all in together.
Right.
And
these were just, in those days, those were AM stations.
Yes.
Right?
AM stations.
Yeah.
That's
both,
correct.
Both here in Kalamazoo, KMI?
KMI.
And KLZ.
KLZ, yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
Where were they? Where were the actual buildings?
The building is on the off of Gull Road, WKMI.
Okay.
They started out in the old State Theater building in the 50s.
Oh.
Excuse me. In the second floor of the State Theater building were the studios of WKMI. I went down there and worked at nights sometimes and the weekends also. And then they moved over to Jennings Drive, I guess it is, off of Gull Road. That's KMI.
I see.
And so...
Where's KLZ?
KLZ is no longer in existence.
Ah.
That was out on Skipper's Lane, off on the east side of Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Butler, who was associated with KZO for a good many years.
I see.
Decided he was going to open up his own radio station, which he did do in 56 and 57. And this is after we'd been married for a year, so I was doing radio work and working on my degree at Western at the same time, and my wife was teaching here at the middle school in Parchment.
I see.
And
okay.
Then I broke into teaching on a full-time basis.
Yeah.
In 59.
Right.
After my 2 years in Allegan.
Right.
And I was in the middle school for a few months, and mm-hmm. we literally moved the entire school from the middle school over to the new building.
I see.
On East G.
Okay.
And was there, for as long as I taught.
Right.
It's an interesting experience financially for Parchment.
What do you mean?
The original building, as I understand it, and they were building it while I was not here, but I joined the system after it soon opened.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost was something like $1.2 million, as I recall. And now recently, three or four years ago, they renovated the entire school for something like $16 or $17 million.
Yeah.
And now this shows you how times have changed.
For sure.
So, you see.
But
anyway, that was... But I did start on a full-time basis in 69 and... not 69, but... 60. Teaching and doing the drama work.
Right. So you must have retired in the end of the 80s.
That's correct. 86, 87, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So Parchment, you were living in Parchment starting really in the 60s, really. You were here.
Yes. Well, we bought the house in 58.
Okay.
We had a place in Kalamazoo proper for a few months before that when we were first married. And then when I was in radio, then we moved out here, got the home on Parch Mount in 58.
Do you have any children?
Two boys.
Two boys. What are their names?
Christopher and David.
Okay.
And Christopher, the first one was born in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started the family, this was instrumental in me being a teacher and Barb retiring from her teaching.
I see.
And started to raise the kids.
Sure, sure.
What
was Parchment like to raise a family?
Small town.
Mm-hmm.
No problems. We enjoyed it. We always thought that it was better than a large city, although that's... Mm-hmm. that's not exactly legitimate. I mean, big cities are perfectly all right, but mm-hmm. we didn't have the problems that maybe some other mm-hmm. families have in larger cities, as they are having in, say, Flint. Now, I was born and raised in Flint.
Yeah.
Flint now is a dying city.
Yeah.
But then it was not.
Sure.
And the
that was the heyday of the automobile.
Yes, exactly. And this is the big difference. And mm-hmm. and you wouldn't want to go to a high school in Flint now.
Yeah.
See, there's the difference. You ask about what it's like in Parchment. Well,
mm-hmm.
we didn't have the big city problems.
That's right.
And we are not having big city problems now.
Right.
Although that does not mean that small schools don't have problems.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. And you said a lot of the kids you taught, their dads or moms or both worked at the mill here.
That's correct.
KVP.
Yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
The place was, from the other oral histories I've taken, because I myself am not from here, my understanding is the place was hopping. Mm-hmm. Like in the 60s. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, Parchment was busy. The mill was going. A
mm-hmm.
Couple thousand people working there, and
mm-hmm.
businesses,
mm-hmm.
lots of businesses downtown?
I wouldn't say lots. There were some businesses. Now, you mentioned the 60s, 70s. We went through, in those years, the pollution problems.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, it was quite evident that the Kalamazoo River, going through Parchment, was polluted.
Yeah.
And where did the pollution come from? It came from the paper mills.
That's right. And there were a lot of paper mills.
Oh, yeah.
Around Kalamazoo and Parchment.
From Marshall all the way through to, Lake Michigan.
Sure.
And each city had, were mill, Parchment was a mill town.
Yes, it was.
And
absolutely.
This is...
It kind of still is, even though the mill is being demolished as we speak. It still feels that way.
Sure. I mean, there are pictures of Jake Kindleberger all over the city.
Okay.
There are references to Jake Kindleberger all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kindleberger Park, you see.
Right.
And people still remember Jake Kindleberger.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
And he was, in a sense, a controversial character. Now, I don't want to get into the personality of Uncle Jake, as they say,
mm-hmm.
but he died about 10 years before we were here. So all I can go by is what I heard.
Yeah.
And
the
people you have talked to, I'm sure, older than I, remember him personally.
Sure. Oh, sure. He certainly, the town grew up around
The mill.
Him, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then he built the company houses, and so then people had places to live, and he could get other people from other places to come and live and work here. And
And we live in one of those company houses.
You do.
On Parchmount.
How big is it?
I guess it's a Cape Cod. I mean, 5-6 rooms. It's 3 bedrooms. I mean, it's a. It's a full-blown home.
Sure.
And that there was a spread of pictures in the Kalamazoo Gazette, which showed the place. But picturesque, all the friendly, homey Cape Cods.
Sure.
Cape Cods all over Parchment.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
There's a lot of them around?
Get in a car and drive Parchmount, Glendale, Park Avenue, side streets. You'll find dozens of Cape Cods.
Ah, okay.
And they're nice.
Sure. That must have been very popular architecture, in the 50s, 40s and 50s?
Well, the houses
were
built for the people who worked in the mill.
Sure.
Were in the 30s.
I see.
And middle 30s. And,
okay.
And they're very well made.
I see. Okay. Do you remember? How about your neighbors? Since you've lived in that house so long.
Yeah.
You've had a sort of a, or haven't you, a kind of a same steady bunch of neighbors, or have people been moving?
Changes. There have been changes, yes. Yes, but it's a stable neighborhood compared to other areas.
Okay.
But I don't, we've, I think over the time since we were here in 58, we've had only, let's see, one, two, three families living in that, our neighbors to the east or to the west, across the street, maybe another two or three.
Okay.
What I'm getting at is that the change has not been a drastic change. It's been a stable neighborhood.
Because these are all, do you live in a neighborhood with all one-family homes?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
And
yeah, that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no apartment buildings right in your immediate neighborhood.
No, no. The when we first moved in, the church, the Methodist church was not there. That came in, and our kids used to use their hill for their sledding in the winter when they were 5, 6 years old.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But the church is now there, so that's the new addition. I'm getting to that.
I see.
But the neighborhood physically has been stable because it was everything has been built.
I see. Okay.
Interestingly enough, getting back to high schools, many of the people who work at the high schools or even in the middle school live on Parchmount in Glendale.
Oh.
And only recently now, since the changes have been made, have they been starting to leave.
Really?
But, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you see, here again, if the school started in 59 and 60.
Sure.
Now, that's 50 years.
Yeah.
And
right.
The staff, and I'm part of it, or was part of it, is dying off, see? So the neighborhood in this sense is changing.
Right.
And the younger families are coming in, which is normal for any area.
Sure. Do you remember any hot issues that the city faced? Anything that was political or anything,
issues,
you know, hot issues that they're going on here?
I wouldn't say so. I don't think any great controversies. In recent years, say in the last 10 years, people have been concerned about when are they going to take care and tear down that mill.
Yeah.
And there has been controversy, which you've probably heard about.
Sure, sure.
The delay.
Yes.
The delay.
That's right.
The delay, see. But, and now, even now, they're starting to do it.
Right.
which is good.
Exactly. Finally, the demolition plan. Yeah, the demolition plan got approved in August to be done the end of this year, 2011. And looks like they're really, this is just January, and they're really going at it.
Well, yes, but you say it was the plan was in August, but they have
been
talking about
it. Yeah, it was finalized in August.
They've been debating it for a good many years.
Yeah.
But they're to the point now where progress is being made.
Yeah. Do you have mixed feelings about that? I mean, I've talked to some people, especially people, of course, who've worked there. Some people are sad to see it go, and other people are you know, we got to move on.
Well,
because there's some kind of a, you know, tentatively a big development plan for that land.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay.
No, it's about time. I mean, times change. You've got to get rid of that that building. It's not being used. And when something is not used, why, it's useless.
That's right. That's right. Just falls down right in front of your eyeballs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you... you know, you lived, you know, speaking still of like hot political or issues, do you remember the Vietnam War affecting Parchmount in any particular way? I mean, were there kids from here who went to the war, went to Nam, and I mean, anything that stands out?
Nothing that stands out.
Okay.
No more than what happened in any other community. You were concerned. Well, the attitude toward the war in Vietnam touched Parchmount in the sense that the troops were not, or the soldiers were not appreciated.
That's right.
I know some of them now, who still speak of those years when they were criticized for the war, when they're saying, it's not my fault, I was just a soldier. I was in the Army during the Korean War.
Okay.
Well, but I was in Germany.
Ah,
and so I was
see.
Not touched by the Korean War.
Yeah.
Therefore, this affects me because, well, I don't feel, I have no experience in a military engagement.
Right.
But you see, the people in Vietnam were the ones that I know who came in after I was in the Army.
Sure.
And they, and this is a roundabout answer to your question, but it affected them because they felt the criticism, which is exactly the opposite now what we're going through.
It is.
The thankfulness that we are offering for the soldiers over in Afghanistan.
Sure.
So we learned something from the Vietnam War.
Yeah, completely different now.
But there's nothing that I can think of that would be any more than this feeling.
Okay.
This feeling.
Do you remember big community events in Parchment, like in Kindleberger Park?
The
or parades or anything like that?
The city became a city in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
I was here. They had a 25-year celebration in 64, in 1964.
Did. Oh,
I think it was 1964.
Yeah, 64, sure.
And they had a parade, and people, and let's see. In fact, I even did some announcing for that parade. But, and they were doing, they were coming down Riverview Drive. And, of course, what kind of a parade are they going to put on in a small town like Parchment, see? So, but it was celebration. And,
sure.
And people were very proud of the fact that this city is now 25 years old.
You bet.
And they felt good about it, and by George, that's they should.
They had, like, what, floats and marching bands?
Well, yeah,
and
the school band, there's only one marching band
sure,
in the area.
Sure, sure.
So,
yeah.
But it was a celebration, and they wound up in over at the park. And
okay.
And it seems to me there was maybe a softball game or something like that.
Were there fireworks?
I don't recall fireworks.
This must have been in this like summer of 64.
Yeah.
When they did
this. Correct. That's correct.
Uh-huh. And you said you did some announcing for that?
Only because they knew that I was in radio.
Sure.
And then they can handle a microphone and talk about the people as they go by the viewing stand.
Did you do that? Did you do that?
Yes.
You were at the viewing stand and you...
Now, when you say viewing stand, it's not anything
bleachers?
Out of New York City.
No, I bet
no,
not.
No bleachers. We just stood on the pavement with three or four people and talked, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But it was, that when you were asking me about an event, that was an event of the 25th anniversary.
Did they film it? Do you recall?
I don't believe so. No,
okay.
I don't think so.
You don't remember seeing?
No.
Okay. I just wondered because I've never heard of that, and I wondered if anybody had a...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you know of anybody who had a film of that would be... So how's Parchment changed since you first moved here?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much. They're getting rid of the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And... things are looking up in that respect. The neighborhoods, the stores aren't changing too much.
Well, you must have gone into Belle Isle's.
Oh, yes. Bob Belle Isle. I know Bob Belle Isle well.
Sure.
And
I've got his oral history, by the way. We got
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
Because
all right.
So many people came in whose other people that oral histories I was taking, and people all talked about, oh, Belle Isle's.
Uh-huh.
Going to Belle Isle's for lunch. Going to Belle Isle's for sodas. Going to yeah.
Oh yeah, sure.
So you know Bob.
I know.
Yeah.
Bob Belle Isle well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was there for years.
Yeah.
Talking about that changes. Clark's Pharmacy was right on the corner.
Yes.
Belle Isle was right next door.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the buildings are there. They've changed hands a little bit.
Sure.
But, the existence of this very room, this building.
Yeah.
It was, what, 89?
89.
This
library.
As I recall. And I remember that opening, yes.
Well, you know, this library moved 5 times. This is the last resting place so far of this library.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not from here, but this community is very tenacious about their library. When their lease ran out, wherever they were around town, or they ran out of room because they had too many books, they just find something else, and they move the whole kit and caboodle someplace else. Extremely impressive to see.
Yes.
Since 1960, they've moved all those places until 1989. That's a big job, but they are determined.
Sure. Well, you see, you've got to give the credit to the people involved in the library. They're sold on having a library
to
begin with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh yeah, they just would never give up.
I'm losing my voice.
Yeah, well, we're getting towards the end here. I wonder what we missed. Did we miss anything you wanted to talk about?
What we have missed? No.
Anything else that?
The my teaching is centered here. My wife's teaching was centered here.
Mm-hmm.
And.
So do you have? How would you? Can I just ask you to get a little philosophical?
Philosophical?
And say, yeah, what do you consider a successful life, and how has Parchment affected that?
What do I consider a successful life?
Yeah.
I'm just reading about that in the New Yorker here yesterday, about what a successful life is. And the point, and I had to agree, that a successful life is not necessarily maybe the money you make, although that's part of it. It's the contacts that you make, the memories you have. It's not a question of succeeding up or in a perpendicular sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of broadening your experiences sideways, meeting people, and remembering what happens,
mm-hmm.
what is important, and acknowledging the fact that as you grow older, you change for the good.
Mm-hmm.
You change for the good. And
you had a, from what you said, had a good life in Parchment.
Sure. Yes, I have. I've had a good life in Parchment. I've seen some changes. People move away, and some people move back in.
Mm-hmm.
But the people I know are still here, and there is sadness. I lost my wife a year ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's...
You have great memories,
mm-hmm.
of her and your family. Are you a grandfather?
No.
Not so far.
Interesting. No, never. My sons are 50 years old.
Oh, that's
and,
right. That's right.
They, they raise cats and dogs.
I see.
So
I see.
Well, my one son is in Dallas and the other son is still here.
I see.
But no, they don't have... they don't have children, so I'm not disappointed over that.
Okay.
But who was it that our former president said just the other day that he's looking forward to having grandkids?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't bother me a bit.
I see.
But it's been a good life for me here.
Yeah.
And. I still like to do some traveling, and mm-hmm. I shall.
Sure.
And,
sure.
My life here has been good.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time here. Everybody's got, like I tell everybody, they've got another piece of the puzzle here.
Another piece
of the culture, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't repeated anything I've heard from another single soul.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, we wanted to get your life on tape, and we got it.
Well, you're welcome.
So thanks very much, Mr. Burgess.
You're welcome.